Hi, I'm really excited to introduce you to today's episode, Luciana Garcia. She is really a special soul. She taught us about this experience of using our emotions to find peace in times of stress. And I love how she talked about the emotions are energy and that we are not our emotion. And being able to talk about how we can build a relationship with our emotions. She talked about four steps of the art of mindfulness. And towards the end, she walked us through a beautiful mindfulness and meditation that I definitely recommend. And I have a feeling you're going to want to listen to more than once. Very powerful, very beautiful. Today's episode is just really beautiful. I'm so excited to introduce this to you guys about the concept of emotional integration, and it's so powerful for HSPs. Hope you enjoy this episode. I want to give you a quick update before we start this episode, and that is that I have some free master classes coming up that I'd love to invite you to. They're free to register. You'll also get a replay if you register. One is about high sensitivity and anxiety. And one is called Reach Financial Freedom, Growing a Heart-Centered Online Business. And that's for HSP practitioners, healers, therapists, coaches, et cetera, who want to learn how to grow multiple sources of income and just be in a place where you're free so that you can really do the work that you need to do as a healer and take time off to take care of your self-care and things like that. That's important for healers. And I'm going to be available to answer questions after these events. And you can find them, you can register free by going to my website, juliebielen.com or sensitiveconnection.com, and click on free resources. And there you will see where it says master classes, and you'll get a link to register free. If you can't find it for some reason, definitely just let me know. And yes, there is a replay if you register. And you'll get an email reminder and things like that as well. So look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy this event. So welcome, everyone. Today we're going to talk about using our emotions to find peace in times of stress with Luciana Garcia. Luciana is an emotional mastery coach with a degree in mind-body transformational psychology. Today, she wants to talk about the importance of normalizing feeling our emotions and how to do that. And I think that your techniques about emotional integration are going to be incredibly helpful for HSP. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I am so excited. And thank you, Julie. I'm just really happy to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. Thank you. I mean, I was just saying before we started recording, I was so impressed with your website and everything that you're doing. I just think that what you talk about is really aligned with what I think that I share a lot with HSPs and this concept of, we're such deep feelers and feel things in such an overwhelmed way. I know we both have stories in our past that that talk about some of our experiences with challenging, being challenged by having such intense emotions. So I always love hearing people's stories. How did you get started in what you're doing?
Yes, yeah, so I have been doing or sharing what I do with others for the last 7 years, where it has become really my passion to teach women to master their emotions. But like many of us, my journey truly started truly since I was little, when I was a little girl, and now recognizing that I am an HSP. I was always extremely sensitive. I would describe myself as being very shy. I was always hiding behind my mom. I could really easily pick up on other people's emotions or if they were not feeling happy, even if everything seemed to be okay. And that translated into anxiety. To the world, I was just experiencing anxiety. And for me, I kind of kept it to myself. I never mentioned anything about it. But it was after I had my daughter that I began to experience postpartum depression. And for me, I feel that that was when everything within me, my mind, my emotions, my body said, that's it. We cannot keep ignoring or denying what's going on. And the way that I got started in all of this is kind of like what many of you are experiencing today. I wasn't doing good and I got invited to a class. And the class was about meditation. And I remember that I attended the class, zero expectations. And I was telling myself, well, it's not going to work for me because I cannot meditate. That's the thing I used to tell myself. My mind cannot stop. It's just not going to work. And the moment that I arrived at that class, I was introduced to the practice of emotional integration, which I'm about to share with you a little bit today, which is what I like to call the mindfulness of emotions. And that day, I learned that I had a choice in how I reacted or processed my emotions. And pretty much, I would say that changed my life. That's when I really began to be committed into the journey of practicing something that later became me going to school, years of just dedicating myself to my spirituality, to my meditation practice. And now, through the Mahashriya Buddhist tradition, I've been ordained a Buddhist priest since 2013. So it's been a long journey, and my trials and my emotions have been my biggest teachers. So
yeah, that's my favorite. Like that, I mean, this is what I constantly talk about for HSPs. It's like, and I know a lot of HSPs want to start their own businesses and things like that. And it's like, whatever we've experienced in our life often becomes our calling. It's like, I had the same experience with a lot of anxiety and depression and having that just really knock me down in life and trying to figure out like, how can I be in this world as such a highly sensitive person that just feels everything so strongly, so intensely, didn't know how to manage my emotions. So I love hearing these kinds of stories because it comes from such a real, genuine place. Like you've lived that experience. You were introduced to tools that really worked for you. And now you're teaching that. I mean, like, to me, there's nothing better than that because you've kind of walked that journey. And I think that's so exciting.
Yes. And that's what I tell people, that, you know, going back through my journey, I mean, I've also, you know, experienced in the past being extremely obese and, you know, being healthier and regaining my health. You know, I've gone through a divorce. I've gone through many things that people tell me, if you could go back, would you change it? And I say no, because truly my passion now is supporting others. And I could never genuinely support someone 100% when I don't understand what they've been through. So that's why I choose to teach what I teach to women. And I, more than anything, I'm so excited to be here. Even just being here with all of you, even though I cannot see all of your faces, I feel at home because I know that we all know what it is to be, you know, to experience being highly sensitive. And not many people know what that journey is like. So
it's so powerful for us to be together and to be talking about these experiences. And I think to show that, you know, we understand what it's like to struggle and to, you know, really have a hard time with feeling things so deeply and having such a strong emotions about things and feeling overwhelmed. And then walking that journey to be able to develop these kinds of tools. And I mean, that makes, to me, that makes the best kinds of teachers. So we're excited to be a part of this with you and to learn from you about some of these techniques and tools that you found helpful. And I love that you were introduced to it and there was something in you that made you go and take those steps and start learning about it. It's amazing.
Yes, yes. And I'm so happy to share it with you. And I know that many of you will either what I'm going to share with you today, you're going to use it to enhance anything that you already maybe do that works for you. Or for many of you, it may be completely new and it may just help you get to know yourself better. Because I agree, I know that for us, people that are highly sensitive, we tend to want to serve others. We tend to want to, you know, support our communities or build businesses out of serving others. But at the same time, sometimes the way we experience the world is what holds us back. And I find that having tools is the only way to truly be empowered, because that means you are in charge to what works for you and when you may apply it. So
I like that you said that. I completely agree with you. I think that there's so much to be said about having tools, especially for those of us that are really high up on that sensitivity scale. It's like we need tools. And I think you're absolutely right. I think most of us have that calling to help others in some way, and being able to regulate and integrate some of these tools into our lives, it's going to be huge for being able to accomplish what we want, which usually means helping people.
Yes. 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 And let me know. I mean, I'm ready to begin kind of sharing with you a little bit about emotional integration. My goal today is after you watch this class, you understand more what emotional integration is. And I want to teach you what I call the foundation of the practice, which is a practice of mindfulness through four simple steps. And I like to keep it simple because I want this information to become hopefully part of something that helps you. I know that there's so many tools out there. There's so many resources. And sometimes just starting with simple things, that's what creates the bigger impact later.
So, love it. I think that's a very good idea. Let's jump in. I'd love to hear all about it.
Good, good. So first, one thing that I will invite you as you watch this class, since it's kind of like the goal of what we're going to be learning, is to, as you're listening to me, regardless of what it is that you're doing, regardless of what it is that's happening around you, or even whatever just happened throughout your day. Maybe this is the moment where you're finally stopping to take a little bit of time to be with you. I'm going to invite you to just be very connected to your breath. The reason being is that I hope that the information that I'm going to give you is not just words that later may mean nothing, but more that as you're hearing what I am saying, you begin to connect with you so you can experience it. I find that that is when things become real, when we really just experience it. So just whatever you're doing, take a deep, slow, conscious breath, get comfortable, know that whatever it is that you need to get out of this class, you will get and you will receive it in the way that you need to. And just what, and also at the same time, when you listen to me, if you feel any sensations in your body, if you feel, sometimes, you know, we become aware of, oh, I feel a little bit of pressure in my chest or my shoulders are tired. Do not judge it. Just connect it to your breath. So I like to share how emotional integration is the mindfulness of emotions. Why? Because it's a technique that teaches us to feel our emotions consciously. And a lot of people ask me, Luciana, what is the difference between feeling emotions, which I do all of the time, and feeling the emotion consciously? And I always explain that the main difference is the paying attention to it. Anytime we experience emotion, even if it's an emotion of joy and happiness, we rarely are present with it. If we're happy, we're thinking about what's making us happy, or we're enjoying the moment and we are, you know, just present. When we experience a difficult emotion like fear, when we experience an emotion like sadness or guilt, the emotion feels uncomfortable and our natural reaction is to deny it, to pretend it's not there. And for those of us that are highly sensitive, that has been our coping mechanism for many of us throughout our whole life. I can say that for me, I would always numb my emotions with food. That's all I knew how to do, especially since I was a young girl. And I, you know, that was my coping mechanism. I really didn't know any other way. And if any of you have experienced this and you cope with your emotions through eating, through sometimes projecting the emotion to other people, sometimes we need another glass of wine or whatever it may be, I invite you to not judge yourself. That is part of the journey of getting to know your emotions, is to understand that the way that you have been coping with them until today, until this moment, it's the best that you could have done. Because sometimes we didn't know any other way. But now when we begin that journey of wanting to get to know our emotions, we want to become aware of them. So this is what emotional integration is. When an emotion comes up, before I run into my coping mechanism, before I try to pretend that it's not there, even if it's joy or if it's something good, I want to learn how to breathe, to be present with my emotions and feel them fully.
Yeah.
So I hope this makes sense. And this is something, I don't know if it's something that you might have experienced before, Julie.
Yeah, I think that this is powerful what you're talking about. I know for myself, when I was able to learn how to be in an emotion in that, like you were talking about, the mindfulness of emotion without judging it, And without fearing it, it completely transforms the emotion itself, like to be able to teach yourself to have that presence. And I really like that you're having such a gentle, kind approach. So many people in the community are loving you already. They're saying, appreciating your genuineness. And I think that's true, because you're sharing from a place of like, we can start where we are, and that's okay. And I think that's such a beautiful way to begin.
And that gentleness with ourselves, because we tend to be the hardest with ourselves. Like, we would never say certain things that we say to ourselves to others. We would never do that. But we tend to be so hard on ourselves. And for some of us that are already feeling so much, it just feels like too much pressure, sometimes coming, like I said, from our own selves. So yes, and thank you so much for everybody that is commenting. And you know what is one of the things that helped me make that shift between feeling lost in an emotion and learning to observe the emotion was defining emotions in a new way. So I'm going to invite you to maybe begin to define emotions differently. And I want to share the way that I explain them to people. We are so used to emotions being connected to a personal story, to something that somebody did to us, to sometimes something difficult. But the way that I explain it is that emotions are simply energy. Even the word emotion, energy in motion. Emotions are meant to move. When we are experiencing joy and we're happy, I always tell people, when you are in love and somebody comes and tells you, throw out the trash, you're like, okay, you know, like, I'll do anything. You feel so light and, you know, like, oh yeah, everything's possible. Now, when we are feeling sad, when we are feeling anger, when we are feeling a sense of guilt or rejection, the emotion or the energy feels literally heavier. Sometimes I tell people, when we experience depression, it's real that sometimes we cannot get out of bed. And people don't understand, but you haven't done anything all day. Like, what do you mean you're tired, right? And I tell people, when we suppress emotions, eventually the heaviness of that denser emotion feels like a sense of depression. So in order to begin to learn to process emotions, especially when we feel a lot, we want to understand emotions are just energy. They're not against you. They're not who you are. So if you're feeling sad, you are not that sadness. You are experiencing sadness. And that is what you said. When we learn to observe it, we become free, because we have a space between me and the emotion. Instead of assuming something has to be wrong with me for feeling the sadness, or because something happened in my life, it will always stay that way, when it's not the case. So that is what I tell myself. And if this helps anybody, I invite you to use it. I tell myself, I'm feeling this emotion. It's energy that I need to either right now accept or move. So this is good. And one way of moving it is by being aware of it and breathing through it. But there are many other ways. Many of you already have other tools. Also, for example, exercise. We know that for some people, sometimes when they're experiencing an emotion, they go for a walk and they feel better. Mm-hmm. Why? They move the emotion. So remember, emotion, energy, emotion. We're not meant to get stuck in those difficult emotions. And this brings me to connect one thing. The practice is called emotional integration. The word integration means to bring something into something else, like to make it come together. So the question is, what is it that I'm integrating when I'm sitting down to feel my sadness or my fear? Or what am I integrating it into? And the answer is that for all of us human beings, our base emotions are love and joy. And you can see this in children and in babies. But then we start growing up and we go to kindergarten and we experience rejection for the first time, or somebody didn't let us play with our toy. And then we continue to grow up and we experience a heartbreak for the first time, or whatever it may be. Sometimes it's more difficult things through our childhood, and we feel more and more far away of our true nature of those emotions of love and joy. So when I sit down to integrate an emotion through feeling it and observing it through my own presence, which is through mindfulness, the pressure of the emotion begins to dissolve. And that natural emotion of simple joy or just simple love begins to come up. And that is the beauty of this practice, that time and time again, I hear people say, I feel more at peace. I feel more love. I feel more acceptance for myself or more joy, simply because they stop resisting the emotion of pain. So it's very interesting. I don't know if you've ever kind of experienced it like this, Julie.
I love what you're talking about. I think I was even taking some notes while you're talking because I want to remember what I want to say. I think that I really like that you talk about emotions as energy and the concept that we are not our emotions. We're the experience, the energy of the emotion. I think that is huge for us as HSPs because I know for myself, when I was having a really powerful, difficult emotion, it would be so strong that it would feel like I was that emotion and that it was never going to change. It was like you're just sitting in it and it's going to stay like that. And it wasn't until being able to recognize that awareness and acceptance of that emotion that it started to shift. And I experienced it exactly as you said, where it's like it's like the magnification of that emotion is it just kind of starts to shrink, like it's not so intense. And that when you keep on practicing that, you do connect to that, especially through meditation and mindfulness, you connect to that base emotion that you were saying of love and joy. I really like how you're describing this, that, and it's almost that we can observe it, and you were saying in a way that it's like freeing. It's freeing to have that experience. It's beautiful how you described it.
And especially for us that are highly sensitive, I feel that we need this because we want to learn how to understand our gift, because I see being highly sensitive as a beautiful gift. And to understand it and be able, like you said, to separate. So I could say, I am experiencing right now this emotion. It doesn't mean that is who I am. And it doesn't mean that is what my tomorrow has to be or my evening has to be. And that is one of the most powerful things that I share with my clients and with my students, is that we want to take emotions now as moments, because sometimes we've been so used to holding on to an emotion because we, like I said, we haven't known any other way of dealing with it, which is okay, that then when we feel good, we start to worry. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You're like, things are good. What's coming up? You know, like something's going to happen next, because we're not used to living in a place of feeling good, or sometimes even feeling okay, which I want to explain. When I say joy, it doesn't mean you're jumping out of like excitement. Sometimes joy feels more like a peaceful.
Yeah. It's kind of quiet, isn't it? It's like a quiet, it's just such a, like a really positive, good feeling inside. And I see Becca's got, she wanted to say, thank you, Luciana. This is so true. I used to disconnect and suppress my emotions as a way to cope, but it's been transformational to explore them in this way. Love it. I think that this is going to help so many people what you're talking about. And as sensitive people too, highly sensitive people, so many of us have had the experience that of being told that what we feel is wrong because it's different than how a lot of people experience things.
Yes. And thank you for bringing that up, because I think that is one of the things that pushes to hide our emotions. And the thing is that is one of the reasons why many of us experience anxiety. Of course, there are many different reasons of why someone would experience anxiety. But for a lot of the times I explain, anxiety is suppressing. Physically, we are suppressing something. Sometimes it's, I don't know how to handle this. It's the natural feeling for many of us. It's too much. So that tension, that's why when we learn to practice conscious breathing, which is so simple, it's actually kind of boring. Let's be real. It's a little bit boring. So people say, oh, breathing, you know, when you tell them, I'm going to teach you something good that's going to help you. And you're like, breathe. They're like, oh, what do you mean? I mean, but it's free. It's simple. And it's powerful. Never underestimate the power of your breath, especially for us highly sensitive people. We really, really need to understand that us being able to practice conscious breathing, even if it's in random, simple moments throughout the day, it doesn't have to be like a very long practice. It's going to completely transform your relationship with your emotions. And of course, with the way your nervous system processes emotions. So there's a whole other, you know, it could be, I guess, a whole other class of just talking about breath, but that is very, very important. And I just wanted to say a couple of things. One thing is that I did read that Larissa said that she has a migraine and she's listening to, with her eyes closed. And I just want to say that, thank you for sharing that, because that's very real and very important to know that even attending a class like this, or when anything is going on in life, we want to be the ones that choose to adapt the experience to what we need. So I just wanted to mention that. And another thing before I move forward with what I want to teach you with the practice is that on that topic that you said about disconnecting with the emotion, or at least being able to observe it, I find that that is also very powerful, because it helps us to change the dialogue in our mind. And this is the reason why I tell people that it's very useful to have a lot of mindset work practices. It can be anything from just having positive dialogue to using affirmations. Many people like using hypnotherapy or different practices, but that on its own, sometimes it's not enough, because we don't address the emotion. And I just want to explain something. Emotions, if you had a bonfire, emotions are like the wood and the fire. Now, the thoughts and the dialogue that many times is negative when we are experiencing an overwhelm of emotions, the mental chatter is the smoke. So a lot of the times it's like we're going to the bonfire, going like this to the smoke, right? Like, okay, like I'm good, or, you know, I'm whatever it may be. We're just kind of moving the mental chatter, ignoring it, or just transforming it with something positive, which is useful. But what I say is, let's do that and then go one step deeper into addressing at the core, what is it that I feel? And that starts with the phrase that you said, Julie, understanding, which is what we're talking about. I am not my emotions. If that is all you take from today's class, you are not your emotions. You experience emotions. Yeah. And any human being, men, women, children, if you're 99 years old, you experience emotions. I always say, if you're a human being, you have blood running through your veins, you have a stomach, you have whatever it means, you have skin, and you have emotions. Like, it comes with the package. And part of the reason of why you do what you do, Julie, and why I'm here today, is because it's time to normalize talking about emotions and knowing that it is normal to feel them. So when I address my emotion and I understand, oh, what I am feeling is fear right now, it makes sense of why I was making all of those stories of whatever. You know, sometimes it's just like, did I lock the back door? Oh, no, I did. Oh, no, I didn't lock it. Did I unplug the straightener from the outlet? And it's just really what's going on is I'm feeling fear. And maybe there's a reason and maybe there's not. I can still take care of the emotion and realize that it does not mean that anything wrong is going to happen, or that there is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah, so. I think there's almost a sense of feeling more in control in a way when you're able to pause and observe it, rather than you feel that it is you in that moment. Like, to separate that experience gives you just enough to be able to observe it. And HSPs have such a wonderful ability of having that deeper level of consciousness to be able to kind of go, okay, yeah, what is that I'm feeling? I know that really shifted my life from, you know, stuffing emotions, or, you know, I think that there's a difference between disconnecting because we are in fear versus almost like a conscious disconnection, would you say?
Yes. Yes. And I love right now, even when I was speaking, I noticed that I used the word disconnect with both, and I was like, so there is a difference. I guess what helps me if it becomes confusing sometimes is to say, when I don't want to feel something and I don't want to look at it, I deny it. And it's something that later can add up. It's almost like putting it under the rug, and later we feel an emotion that's very extreme, that's not related to a situation, or what happened seems very small. But it may be because I've been suppressing an emotion for a long time.
Yes, this is huge what you're talking about. I mean, this is, to me, I've always kind of explained it. It's like, if we're stuffing it, if we're not doing that conscious awareness of it, or we're disconnecting in that fearful way, and like you said, putting it under the rug, it's like almost like it gets stored inside of you, and it is absolutely going to come out at some point. I call it implode or explode. And for people who have panic attacks, for example, to me that is really a level of, it's like the container just got so full of storing all those emotions that were not dealt with, and now they're overflowing. So I think that's such a powerful thing to be able to sort of separate that experience of like a conscious choice to look at it versus a unconscious disconnect, right?
Yes, and I love this because it also becomes empowering.
Yes.
One of the reasons of why dealing with emotions, what I have found, it's we tend to connect it with something negative is because we feel that sometimes emotions are imposed on us, right? Somebody says a comment or somebody walked into the room and the emotion comes up, and it almost feels like that thing or that person or that situation caused my emotions. So we feel irritated. It's like, oh, you know? Now, when we change the dialogue to what we are talking about and exactly what you said is the feeling of I can choose to go and experience the emotion. You become empowered. Yes, the emotion is there, but it's I choose to go look at it instead of feeling that it's imposed on me and like a battle with it. And and all of this is just transforming the way we're seeing it, and it becomes so powerful. And I can say one other thing with about kind of like putting it under the rug. Another kind of metaphor that I like to use is washing the dishes. I tell people after dinner, washing the dishes for many of us, it's not fun in general, at least for me. But after dinner, if you wash the dishes right away, you go, you do it, and it's done. It's simple. It's easier. Now, if you leave the dishes for like a day or two or a week, or imagine like leaving the dishes for 3 weeks. Number one, the food most likely would be
hard. I love this so much. This is such
they would pile up and they would probably smell. Imagine the task of like, go look at that. It's like, oh no, it feels too hard. And many of us, when we start our journey, sometimes we feel like that, like, oh no, I don't want to look at my emotions. But when you start the journey, you begin to notice that it's just a matter of building a relationship with them every day through simple things like what you're mentioning, Julie. So it can actually feel good, like it does when you wash the dishes and walk into the kitchen and it's clean. It feels good. So that's
important for us that we, it becomes a practice. And for me, that's what changed my life too. It's like an intentional practice of, I need to take some time to process what I've taken in today. And what's in there, and to keep paying attention to that. Like, I like that idea of like thinking of it, like keep cleaning the dishes, keep clearing out all of that. Rebecca's asking, has a question about, says, I love the idea of emotions as energy. Where does the energy come from? How would you answer that?
I find that this kind of takes us more into just the way that we are built as human beings. One thing that I love is that every time more and more, because sometimes when we do use the word energy, sometimes for many people, it can seem like something very general or very like out there, you know, or sometimes like more of a energy in a kind of new age or spiritual way, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I love the concept of how more and more science is backing up that there is energy in our body. And I find that it's simply, the way we experience the world. If we are energy and everything around us is energy, I find that a lot of the experiences we have with our emotions are the exchange of that. You know, walking into a room, having a conversation, whatever it may be, sometimes maybe things that are going on in our life, based on if the conversation went good or it didn't, or with who, there was an energy exchange, we experienced something. And now the emotion is there. Because like I said, even the emotion of love and joy are built out of energy. It's just almost like sound. There's like that higher vibrational energy and a little bit of that lower vibrational energy. But I like to just see it just like that simple energy that we all carry. So it's meant to always be in movement. But I don't find that it's something that like somebody puts into us. You know, it's not like we get like a shot of sadness or something. It's more like a fusion that happens as we experience life. There is energy within us. It moves into different vibrations or experiences, and we call those different emotions. So that would be one way of seeing it.
Yeah, I think too, like when we think about it, the awareness, being able to develop that awareness of the emotion as energy, we can also become aware of triggers yeah. from different things that can actually, I think that if we're talking about it in terms of energy, it can almost be like the trigger itself can produce an energy. And that and that is information for us to be able to witness, like, oh yeah, you know, that triggered something from my childhood, for example. And now I have an awareness around it, because that awareness is going to be key, right, to being able to do something about that energy.
Yes. And it really, I love the way you put it, because it's true. It's almost like the triggers become the friction that allows the energy to move to whatever experience it may be, or emotion that we may call it. And just having the awareness of it really changes the way we experience it. And that is one of the phrases that I never forget that I heard from my meditation teacher, as he was teaching us also a lot about emotions and energy. And he said, experiencing emotions for the body is just information. Now, if certain energy feels very like pleasure to our nervous system, like joy and love, and certain energy feels painful to our nervous system, like maybe fear or whatever other emotions that may bring a physical reaction. But I love that he said that, because that is a very simple way of seeing it. It's information that's just moving through my body. What do I want to do with it? And I can tell you that for me, the anxiety that I used to experience and panic attacks was very severe. One of the darkest moments that I would say was in my teens, when one day I was experiencing so much anxiety and so much fear because I felt all this information, that I fixed a point in a wall. My bed was facing to a wall, and I stayed there for hours. I didn't eat, I didn't use the restroom, I didn't do anything, even though I needed to and I wanted to, because it was a very high, severe point of anxiety. If anybody would have told me in the past that Luciana could have overcome anxiety and what I call pretty much be free from it. I experienced moments of anxiety once in a while in my life now that I manage, but nothing like that. I would have never believed it. Yeah. And the only thing that has been consistent when it comes to my practice has been that awareness, because at that moment, that girl was feeling too much information, but I didn't know what it was. And all that I could translate was, there is something wrong that's going to happen, and I don't know what it is. And now when the feeling of fear comes up, because I build that relationship with observing it, I recognize it. And I know, oh, I am feeling fear right now. Or I am having a conversation. For many of us that are highly sensitive, it's very common for us to experience the emotion of guilt. Now, guilt does not mean we did anything wrong. So this is important to know. It's just a feeling of, I feel like I may do something wrong if I don't go to that party, or if I say no to a family member, even though it would mean taking care of you, even though it may not be your responsibility to go to the party, you know, or even though they may not care if you go to the party. But we feel a sense of, am I doing something wrong for saying no? That is the emotion of guilt. I before never could identify it. I would just go into the dialogue and consistently feel guilty all the time. Now, as I've taken time to sit with the emotion of guilt, I'm able to recognize when it comes up.
Oh, that's so powerful. There's so many people who are going to love this. I know HSPs do. We tend to have a lot of guilt because we're always trying to fix everything, help everyone. And I think that was, you said something really important that separated that feeling of like the feeling of guilt does not mean I've done something wrong. I think that's a huge one. When you experience that feeling, it does not mean you've done something wrong, but you can build, I like what you said, build the relationship of observing the emotion. And even the emotion of guilt, so powerful.
And one of I say there's two antidotes to guilt. One of them is really creating a deep practice of self-acceptance.
Oh, yes.
Because a lot of the times it comes from, I need somebody else to approve of me. If somebody else would say that it's okay for me not to go to the party, then I would be okay with it, even though I already don't want to go. But it's like I almost need that other person's approval to confirm. Now, when you, and this is built, we cannot order self-acceptance through Amazon, even though I wish we could, but we cannot do that. Self-acceptance, and many of you even just being here today, listening to this, you are building your practice of being there for yourself and building that self-acceptance. And the other, what I call the second antidote to guilt, is just simple responsibility. What does it mean? If I choose to say no to going to that party, I choose to take 100% responsibility of how I would feel about it. And it ties to the first one, and I will be there to myself to validate my decision, because I know that it's the best thing for me right now. So through building that self-acceptance and to taking that, we can also call it even self-responsibility, there is a sense of, okay, I made the right decision, and feeling a little better about it when it comes to those type of choices that bring it up guilt.
Yeah, I really like that. I think this is powerful to talk about the antidotes. And I totally agree with you that the antidotes are about building that self-acceptance. I really like the thought about redirecting it back into self, because like you were saying, the self-responsibility and also self-honoring. And because we tend to go into, oh no, they're going to be disappointed. And that's the only focus. We don't realize, and we're not thinking about bringing it back into ourselves to go, you know what, by saying no to that, I'm actually honoring my needs. And that's such an empowering thing to be able to do, to pull it back into that. So building that awareness is also that ability to pull it back into that internal awareness.
And the moment you do that, everything changes. Because if you think about it, that is actually the first step in this practice of emotional integration. Now, kind of getting into that, is just that, bringing the attention first back to you. Through all of our day, even think about what you've experienced today, our attention is outside of ourselves. What do I need to do? What happened? Because we experience the world through our five senses. Now, when it comes to emotions, I always explain, where do you experience emotions? The emotion, you experience it here. That is why the practice of emotional integration, when we use mindfulness, is through taking a moment to stop and go within. I first tell people this practice at the beginning, take a moment, take a little break every day to do it, to stop and close your eyes and go within. The more you practice it, eventually you won't need to close your eyes. You will be able to be wherever you are, watching this class or doing whatever you're doing, taking a deep breath, bringing your awareness to your body and recognizing your emotions. But I would love, Julie, to kind of go into teaching and sharing with you those four steps to practice the mindfulness and the foundation of emotional integration.
Yes, the wonderful. First one, let's do it.
Yes?
Yes.
The first one, I kind of already gave it away earlier, and is simply becoming aware of your breath. And I would love to teach them right now, and then just take a couple of moments very shortly to actually all of us experience them together. What do you think?
Let's do it. Yes.
Yes. So the first one will always be bring the attention to the breath. Why? Because like I mentioned before, we experience attention, our emotions within. So if I want to pay attention, if I'm training a puppy and I want to pay attention to where the puppy may want to go pee, I need to be aware and look at the puppy. If I want to pay attention to my emotions, I want to bring my attention within me. So the one way that we will always be able to bring our attention within ourselves is through our breath. Because since the moment that we were born until this second, we consistently have been breathing, which means you will always have that tool. I want to bring my attention to myself. I take a deep, slow, conscious breath. And I simply begin, at the beginning, just simply begin to pay attention to your breath. So now the channels or the spotlight has been switched from outside within. I pay attention to how my lungs expand. If you're a visual person, imagine your lungs being filled with air and you exhale. Now, the moment that you are there paying attention to your breath, something natural begins to happen. You automatically begin to feel more present in your body. This is what I call the second step, which is we want to inhabit our body. Inhabiting our body is kind of like moving into our new apartment. We take our things there. Here, what we're taking into our body is our awareness. So now, beyond our breath, we are paying attention to our feet. We begin to pay attention to our legs. Even the way, if you're sitting down, for example, the way your body feels against the couch or the chair, just very being mindful of your body. You allow yourself to inhabit your body. When you do this, something happens. All of that information that your body has had for you, that we've been denying all day because we've been on the go, 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 begins to be revealed to you. So that is why a lot of people either want, people say, I feel very calm and relaxed when I do this right away. Or sometimes it's, oh, I just noticed my knee hurts. Or I just noticed I have so much heaviness on my shoulders. And if that happens, guess what? You are doing it right. Because that is normally when people go, oh, it means I'm doing it wrong. No, 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 no. At the beginning, if you rarely practice this, that is what you are going to experience. Now, when you do this, and we're about to experience it, but I want to explain it first, is you can say out loud, I breathe. So you pay attention to your breath. And then you say, I inhabit, as you begin to feel present in your body. Now, after you're there for a little bit, it may be as short as a minute or two, I invite you to bring your attention to your abdomen. Many of us experience our emotions in our abdomen and our chest. And we ignore it, or we are so used to feeling tightness there that we see it as normal. So we bring our attention to our abdomen and our chest, and we begin to pay attention to how we feel. And then from there, whatever sensation, whatever emotion, or whatever thought comes up, we just observe it. Exactly what we have been talking about, Julie. We just observe it from a place of, I want to get to know you. I want to see you. I want to build a relationship with you. Not from a place of judgment and not from a place of blame. There is nobody to blame, not even you, for the emotions you are experiencing.
Wow, so, I just have to say that part is so powerful. I actually felt teared up a little bit when you said, I want to get to know you. I mean, that is so powerful. I just had to say that. Like what you said about the information that the body has for you. It's beautiful.
And I can tell you something. The way that I like to, when I guide classes, I can feel all of us. I'm just explaining it right now. We're already there. With this group, we are already there. That is why you're already there with your emotions. With so many other groups that I teach, is very different and very difficult because they're more, you know, in the mind. And it's okay. We all experience it differently. But many of us, even just hearing that we connect with the emotion, all of us went there like, oh, yeah, whatever I'm feeling right now. Out loud, these are the four phrases that I invite you to repeat. I breathe, I inhabit, I feel, and I observe. And you can repeat those out loud in a gentle way. You can repeat them in your mind. If you don't like to say the I, you can just say breathe, inhabit, feel, and observe. This is what I call the art of mindfulness. These four things in general will teach you to be mindful. And you can practice them while you're walking your dog, while you're doing your dishes. When we master this, then going deeper into doing emotional work is easier. Because then the part of feeling is where we're going to go deeper into when we do emotional integration. Is when I say I feel, I really go there. And if I'm feeling sad, I go into the sadness. And if it feels uncomfortable, I honor the uncomfortable in this moment. Can you see? I don't want to carry that throughout my whole day. That's why I'm giving it a time. Instead of like ignoring, for example, the puppy, I'm sitting with it and saying, let's play. I'm going to give you this time unconditional just for you. And something beautiful happens when you do this, because many of us that are so giving and so loving, and we give so much to others, deep within us, are yearning for that same love and affection. And sometimes we do not receive it from the people around us. And it's okay. Sometimes it's just because the way things are or the way our dynamics are. But when you start doing this practice, you begin to feel your own presence there with yourself every single day. And that changes us. It changes us because we feel more capable to even face life. Because it's like, okay, I got my back, like I mentioned earlier, so I can make a decision. I can say no if I need to, or I can say yes, or I can start that business like we've been talking about. It could be either way, because we feel I'm here. I will be able to process and to get through this experience. So I would like for us to experience it. It's going to feel probably very, very soothing and relaxing, because we're just going to focus and embracing what all of us are experiencing at this moment individually. So if you're ready, I will invite you to get comfortable to do this practice, whatever position you're in, if you're laying down, if you're sitting up, with the exception, if you are driving, do not close your eyes and do not do this exercise. But if you're not driving, you're good to go. So I'll just invite you to close your eyes. And just take a deep, slow breath into your abdomen. And just simply begin to pay attention to your breath. You breathe, and you pay attention to how your lungs expand. And you exhale. You breathe. And you become aware of how your abdomen rises and it falls. I know that you were just exposed to a lot of information. So choose to take this moment to go within and spend some time with you. I breathe. I breathe. Remember that when you bring your attention to your breath, you're bringing your attention from outside of yourself within. The only place where we can truly access our emotions. As you continue to breathe, you will naturally begin to feel more present in your body. Feeling present in your feet, your legs, your knees. You breathe, feeling present in your abdomen, your chest, your shoulders. You feel present in your body by just simply wanting to be there. You can even imagine as if your body was a clear cylinder. And as you begin to pay attention to it, you begin to fill yourself up with your own presence. I inhabit. I breathe. I inhabit. I am present. Now, I invite you to bring your attention to your abdomen. Here is where we normally feel our emotions. And I invite you to become aware of how you feel at this moment. If you are feeling peaceful, I invite you to embrace that peace. If any of you are feeling a little anxious afraid, sad, lonely. Don't push the emotion away. Breathe, inhabit your body, and just feel. Become aware of the sensations that emotion has in your body. It may feel like tension in your chest, a heaviness on your shoulders, weight on your abdomen. Don't judge that sensation and don't push it away. Embrace it. I breathe, I inhabit, and I feel. I give myself permission to feel. And as you begin to become aware of whatever emotion you are experiencing, just begin to observe it. I breathe, I inhabit, I feel. And I observe. I breathe. I inhabit. I feel. And I observe. And the beauty of this, for those of us that are HSPs, is that sometimes we won't know what the emotion that we are experiencing is. And we don't have to name it to feel it. You become aware of the sensation. I breathe, I inhabit, I feel, and I observe. If at any moment the emotion is strong and you need to release through tears, you give yourself permission to do so. From a place of kindness and love to yourself. Knowing that tears help relax and release information from our nervous system. Breathe. I breathe, I inhabit, I feel, and I observe. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. And it is easy and even effortless for me to build a good relationship with them. I am here for myself. Take a deep breath and just gently and slowly become aware of your surroundings, feeling your toes, the fingers on your hands. And whenever you're ready, I'll invite you to come back and open your eyes. And when we do this kind of practice, I always say that transition, when you open your eyes, allow it to be gentle. You don't want to just jump out and like stop the meditation. Is you want that to more and more become your normal state. But later as you practice, it will be with your eyes open and very present and aware. Yes.
That was beautiful. I know. So many people in our community, I say, love it. And beautiful journey. Oh, so lovely. Wow. I'm so glad we recorded this so everyone can come back and listen to that over and over again. Oh, that's so beautiful. Wow. We have just covered so many wonderful things today. My goodness. Luciana, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us today?
Well, maybe the last thing that I would like to share is to invite you to give yourself a little bit of time. I know we've been mentioning a lot about this, but give yourself a little bit of time every day to begin to build that relationship with your emotions. It's really an invitation that I hope that you take a moment today and ask yourself, am I ready to build this relationship with my emotions? And if the answer is a yes, maybe you yet don't know exactly how it's gonna be, but even with what you did today, you took a moment to be there for you, and you have no idea how just that simple action will shift the way your day will go. That is my invitation to anybody. And when you do experience emotions, don't be afraid to talk about it. You know, even if it's in places where you feel safe and comfortable, but I find that the only way we will normalize feeling and talking about emotions is if all of us begin to do it in our little circles, in our families, in our communities, and eventually that is how it will become the norm. So yes.
Lovely. I know our community is saying how powerful this was and how soothing it was.
Thank you.
How
so
can much. People find you?
Yeah, so my website is theemotionalmasterycoach.com. So you can find me at theemotionalmasterycoach.com, and all of my social media is under the same name. You can find me on Instagram, The Emotional Mastery Coach, Facebook, The Emotional Mastery Coach. And I love connecting with people. So know that even after this session, if you have questions, if you experience something, you can send me a message and I will respond and I will get back to you, because I really believe that the more and more, like I mentioned, and this is genuinely something I believe, that the more and more that people live this, it's gonna create a huge wave. So I tell people, if you have questions and you didn't ask during the class, you can contact me through my website, you can send me a message on social media, and I will get back to you. And I do want to say something, that I did prepare a little gift for all of you. I created a masterclass where I teach this process of emotional integration in a little bit of a deeper way, kind of teaching you more on how to focus on the emotion. So today you learned that aspect of mindfulness, but a little bit more on the focus on the emotion. And if you would like to get access to that, it's completely free. You can access it. It's on my website, The Emotional Mastery Coach. And then it's going to be emotional detox. That is the name of the class, emotional detox. And if anybody has a hard time finding it, like I said, you can find me on social media and I'll go ahead and give you access to it. But that
yes,
is-
and I'll put all the links into the show notes, and so that everybody can just click on it too. It'll be easy to do it that way. I love that you're teaching about building a relationship with our emotions. I think that is so powerful. I just love what you do, and I could spend hours with you talking about this. I almost wish our time wasn't already up. I mean, I'd really enjoyed this, and I think you are a very special human, and I think you're doing such amazing things in the world, and I really want to thank you for your presence today and for what you taught us. I think it really impacted us in a lot of beautiful ways. I know the community is just loving you, and it just has been a real pleasure to have you, and I want to really thank you genuinely for everything that you taught us today. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much, and I just want to say that I felt at home. I feel such at home with each one of you ladies, all of us together here. Like, the energy is so beautiful. Thank you, Julie, for what you do. You are impacting so, so many people. And know that I'm always here. If you need anything, more resources, I will always be here to support.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. We're definitely going to have to stay in touch. And for anyone that wants to be able to join us and see this video, this has all been recorded through the Sensitive Empowerment Community. And you can find out how to join us at juliebielen.com or sensitiveconnection.com. Thank you again, Luciana. You are a beautiful soul with beautiful energy. I really enjoyed this today, and I know that you're going to impact a lot of people. Encourage them to check out your website. And just thank you, Sensitive Empowerment Community. You are such a beautiful, loving community. You always make these events be really enriched by your presence and your conversations and your questions and everything that you do, and just the energy that you really send to these. You know, today I really felt the energy with you, and I want to thank you for that and for being here with us live. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for everything that you've done and that you give the world and that you gave us today. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Maybe you've learned a little bit more about yourself. And especially, I want you to know how valuable you are in the world, and that sensitivity has many gifts. And part of what we need to do is learn how to balance a sensitive nervous system and to reframe how we think about sensitivity and create a paradigm shift where sensitivity is valued and honored. And that is a part of my mission. I hope you'll enjoy all the resources that I offer HSPs. We have a sensitivity quiz, a letter to give your doctor and medical professionals, mental health professionals. We have a calming guide that can calm your brain, and you can connect to my books and courses and all the podcast episodes and the HSP blog. So many things for you on my website, juliebieland.com or sensitiveconnection.com. Hope to spend time with you in my sensitive empowerment community. Take good care of yourself.